This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts. This is The Woods,
Grr.
The show made by bears for the bear community, their admirers and supporters all around Australia and the world. Brought to you from Melbourne's Joy 94.9 studios. Woof,
Grr.
Thursday night means it's time for the Bear Community Show, the only one in Australia and maybe the only one in the world. We haven't worked that out yet. It is The Woods from Joy 94.9. In this Big Bear Mark, of course, in the studio with me tonight, I've got Bear Curious Dean. Hello, Dean.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. You're pushing the buttons.
I pushed the buttons. You're sounding a little bit husky this evening, Big Bear Mark.
I am. I think I got bear flu from my birthday party.
What about party celebrations?
Yes, we did.
Mm.
We had a big 5-0 birthday.
We did.
And it was great. Thank you guys for coming, by the way. It was great.
Yes, it was a very good night out. Yes. Who else is here?
Well, it's not James who's in New Zealand, and I think he gave me the flu, by the way. I'm blaming him.
What have you been doing with James?
It was just a kiss hello and a kiss goodbye, but he did warn me he had the flu.
And he did warn you he was going to put his tongue in, so you should have known.
I should have known. Now, those were, of course, the dulcet tones of our cub reporter, Robbie. Hello, Robbie.
Hello, and the dulcet tones of Barry Manilow. That's new for the world.
I know. We haven't had a Barry Manilow song before, I'm pretty sure.
Is he a bear supporter? Is he a supporter of the Bears?
Of course.
I reckon he would be.
I don't know. Maybe his husband is a bit bearish.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Do we agree we weren't going to talk about this?
Oh, well, you know, it happens.
Poor Barry.
I was swaying to that song. I was swaying to Mandy.
So,
it is a
beautiful
Robbie, song.
You might have to explain to us why we were actually playing Mandy.
Well, because we love Barry Manilow.
And if you were listening to the show last week or the week before, I made a very specific invite on air to someone.
You did.
And she has
to
graciously...
a long-time supporter of The Woods.
Yes, as long as you've been here with us.
That's right.
And she's graciously taken us up on the offer. And, of course, it is your mum, Mandy.
My mummy, Mandy. Welcome, Mandy.
Welcome, Mandy.
Thank you very much, both of you.
Now, we've not only got you here because... Well, I mean, obviously we've got you here because of Robbie, but... I mean, there's many bows to your
strings to your bow.
That's it. mixing my metaphors, I know. But I mean, obviously, you know, with Joy, there's a lot of shows here that deal with. I mean, we've got Stand Up Straight, which is just a couple of shows before us with Michelle. Her son's gay, but every story is unique, and we'd love to hear your story. Now, before Robbie came into this world, what were your views on homosexuality and gay people?
Well, I don't know that I actually had any hard and fast thoughts about it, except I knew, and I remember being in a conversation many years ago. I was in the police force, so I was sitting in the car with my sergeant, and we're driving along, and for some reason, and I suspect it probably was that she was probably gay, the gay conversation came up, and I know my instant reaction was, why should we ever stop two people from loving each other? So I knew that I had that, but then I was also... and still am a woman of faith, a Christian lady, and I knew what the church was telling people, which was totally opposite to that. So I had sort of my own gut instinct and plus the teachings that I've been taught.
So there was a bit of a conflict, like an internal conflict?
Yeah, I don't think it mattered to me that much at that stage to have been a conflict, but I was aware that there was a difference. I was certainly aware that my personal views and that of the church seemed to be different, but neither of them were that strong, and it wasn't that forcefully played out in our church, but I certainly knew what the church was saying about homosexuality back then and now.
And now, yes, which is...
Have they moved much?
No, I suppose they haven't moved a lot. Well, some churches have, obviously, but some...
Individuals have.
Yeah. What were your... Like, back then, because you were in the police force as well, what were the perceptions of the gay community when you were in the police force?
My instant reaction is to say, thank God I'm not one of them.
Wow.
You know, I mean, that's my instant reaction to what you're saying, Mark, is that I was not that aware of mechanically how that would all work. That, for one, thing goes around your head. But I didn't really understand all of that, and I had no reason to really understand it because it never played out in my life. It was never an issue.
So was the first time it played out in your life was when Robbie came along?
No, the first time it probably was an issue was when I married and Jack.
Because my dad's gay. No.
I was waiting for it. I'm like, oh, okay, hello. Just by the way.
There's a twist.
Yeah, Jack's in the studio sitting behind us here. But
quietly. Yes.
Very
quietly.
That one.
Up until now.
So sorry, Vandy. There was.
So in Jack's family, Jack's mother is one of seven siblings.
Right.
And every one of her siblings or their children are gay within that whole section. So we're just following along. I mean, Robbie's the first grandchild from there that I'm aware that's gay. But, yeah, so that was my first introduction. So when I went to Holland for the first time, I met his family, mm-hmm. met his gay brother, and that was probably my first real contact with the gay world.
So you've got a gay uncle, Robbie.
I do. I do have a gay uncle. I have many great uncles and aunts that are also gay.
Yeah.
And so your background is from the Netherlands, is that right?
Yeah, both of us, my husband and I. I was born in Australia, but he was born over there. He came over here looking for me, he tells me.
Which is interesting because the Netherlands is obviously one of the countries that has probably the most progressive
gay. Yes, one of the early ones.
I think they're one of the first countries to recognise same-sex relationships, same-sex marriage, I should say.
I'm not too sure if they're actually the first.
I think they were the first.
I think they were the first.
Something like they were the first as well.
12 years
we'll
ago.
We'll call them the first.
We'll call them the first. Now when Robbie came along, what year did Robbie come along? It was the 19...
Oh, don't ask.
Come along, come out.
Mark.
come along.
What year were you born
on? What year were you born, Robbie?
1989?
You're on the spot there, 1986, but I'll take 89.
1986.
That's a good year.
So,
good year, 1986.
For me.
Robbie comes into this world, beautiful baby boy. And how long, Mandy, was it before you sort of went, okay, there could be something a bit different about Robbie?
20 minutes?
I was going to say 20 seconds. But
no, but it was very early on. I think the first discussion that Jack and I ever had was when he was 5.
Wow, that's really early. Hmm. Now, what prompted you to have that conversation?
His two brothers were very keen soccer players, very macho boys, and we'd take Robert to soccer. He was Robert back then, and we'd take him to soccer, and the coach would say, your turn to go on, Robbie, and he goes, oh, do I have to? He was making little daisy chains and things. And by the time he was about 8, he started crocheting and doing some really nice embroideries.
Mm-hmm. A bit crafty were you there, Robbie?
Yeah. Well, a little bit of cross-stitch.
Look, I was the same. I have to admit, I was exactly the same. I hated sports, and I would much prefer to go and play with the girls, and I did home ec at high school, and sewing was one of my best subjects at high school.
I think bears at cross-stitch could be another show.
Yeah.
We should
do a bears at cross-stitch show.
So Robbie, you're not alone. Let me tell you, I was exactly the same.
I'll see you next week for a cross-stitch date.
Yeah, exactly. But so that was sort of it was a cast as a contrast to Robbie's brothers.
Yeah, his whole things of interest were very different, and his manners were very different. He was always a very gentle young fellow. It was just something that, I mean, Jack said later on in life, walks like a duck, sounds like a duck, must be a duck. Mm-hmm. Quack.
Quack. Exactly. Exactly. You are on the woods. Now, look, if you want to get involved in the conversation, and I believe that many of Robbie's and Mandy's relatives out there are listening tonight. Hello, Amy.
Grandma Amy.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Welcome to the woods.
Amy.
Yes, if you want to get involved and send us a message, you can by SMS 0427 joy949, or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. You're on the woods on Joy 94.9.
For all things bear, cub, otter or wolf, and any other woodland creature, the woods on Joy 94.9.
You're with Big Bear Mark, Bear Curious Dean, cub reporter Robbie, and of course Robbie's lovely mum Mandy.
Mama Bear Mandy.
Mama Bear Mandy's in the house.
She's in the house.
So Mandy, we've heard a little bit about how you suspected Robbie might not be straight. let's just call a spade a spade.
Might like the fellas. Yeah.
How did Robbie come out to you, or did he come out to you?
He did come out to me, and he had been dating, so he'd had a couple of girlfriends, and I used to say to him, he had this one girl that I really liked her, and he'd come home for a date, and I'd say, well, have you kissed her? And he'd sort of blush and go, no. And after a few weeks, I'm like, for goodness sakes, mate, you know what she's going to think if you don't get a move on. So that was sort of a bit of a...
Mm.
And it wasn't that long after that that I'd gone to bed early, which is not a normal thing for me, taking a book and gone to bed. And I remember him walking in. I can still just see it all so clearly. And he said to me, I need to talk to you. And in my head, I was just screaming. I was going, no, you are not going to tell me. No, 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 don't you dare tell me. I think I figured that once he told me, then it was concrete. Then it was, you know, what we knew. And so he did. He didn't listen to the screams in my head, only I could hear them. And he said to me that he wanted to tell me that he was bisexual. And that's where he started.
That's so fun. I was listening to Stand Up Straight tonight, and they were talking about how a lot of people come out as bisexual first, before then coming out as gay. And it seems like a very common thing to do.
I think it feels like, certainly at the time for me, and I know for other people have said that, it feels like a safe step, or even just a step in the right direction. You know, you feel like you're sort of testing the waters, and I think. Even I knew fundamentally at that time that, you know, that wasn't quite the extent of it. But it feels like an easy way to break the news. Whereas, in fact, I think it ended up being quite the opposite for me.
It was much, much harder. It made it much harder for me because, that indicates that your sexuality is a choice. Although now, having learned a lot more than in those days, I certainly know that there are people who are bisexual as well, so that's not a choice. But back then, that's what I thought. I thought, so this is a choice. And I remember discussions with him around, if you've got a choice over this, please choose a straight life, because you'll have a much better life. You'll have an easier life. And I think that we've talked about it not that long ago. I said to him, do you remember that time and what was that like for you, and how did it impact? And he said to me, all I know, Mum, is that you cried for three weeks. For 3 weeks you cried, and I don't think you ever cried about the fact that you thought I was gay, but you cried about the fact that I might get teased and get ridiculed and have problems, and about the fact that I wouldn't have children. And they're the two things that I totally remember doing. Not that we didn't have some tough times. I remember yelling at him, saying just whatever. But it was never about that. I never, you know, it wasn't about being anti-gay. Not at all. No, I just thought his life was easier.
So, Maddie, I was interested. So the screaming voices in the head and the grieving period, the three-week grieving period, was it because of the life you imagined for your son was no more? Is that...
Yeah, the life that I had imagined that he wanted. I mean, Robbie is fantastic with children, and I always believed, and I think he did, that he would have children and he wanted to have a career as a primary school teacher, and you sort of saw a lot of that stuff flying out the window, because even though that was only like 14 years ago, schools were pretty touchy about employing parents were pretty touching about their children being taught by gay teachers. So it was more around that. What was this going to mean for him, and how was that going to be accepted? And I think one of the things that really, really threw me is that, and I don't even know if I've talked to you about this, Robbie, but the first people I told were a lady that I sat next to on a train.
Yep.
A lady in the supermarket.
So strangers, yeah?
Absolute total strangers, because I expected that they were going to be bawl me out, and that they were going to go, that's disgraceful, or that's, or you must be a terrible mother, because, of course, that whole thing about a dominant person, mother. So there was a lot of...
Oh, so it was the mother's fault.
Yes.
And so it played into your... So yes. you sought out negative feedback. Is that...
Before I told any of my friends or my family, I had to test it out there first.
But it's interesting. So you, when Robbie shares with you his sexuality, your immediate thought is it's your fault.
No, I don't know, because I don't see it as a positive or a negative thing. Right. Yeah. So I don't think I did, but I thought society would view that.
Right, yes, yes.
Right, because then the talk was, not that anyone would say I'm dominant, would they?
No.
Not to your face.
No.
I certainly never said that, and I'm sorry if you think I did.
Robbie, how did you feel during this time when you came out? How did you feel... How Mandy reacted, and
look, I think I was very confused. I mean, we were always in my house, and I remember we had a conversation sometime before that. You know, I would love you for whoever you are, and that you know that we know you'll always be monogamous, and that you know that you'll still live your life with dignity. But so to me, it was a big shock. It's only till years after that I realised what the repercussions of that bisexual stepping stone had done, and how that had really complicated the situation even further. But yeah, it was a difficult time. It was sad to to see her so upset and to go through that, especially as a teenager.
So let's jump forward a little bit, Mandy. And what do you remember the first time Robbie brought a boy home?
He's never brought a boy
home.
Not as much as what you're talking about. He's never brought a boy home to stay the night or whatever. I mean, Robbie, the first time I ever met one of his exes that we don't talk about.
Right.
we are on air.
The evil exes, yeah, no problem. I understand all about evil exes. I love you all.
That was all after he'd moved out of home.
Yeah.
So he moved out of home at 18.
And not long after I come out, I think I moved out of home. A couple of years.
Yeah, a couple of years probably. And, yeah, we had the time that he would go out, like, and he'd be going to go to clubs. And I remember him sitting at the kitchen table, and he was painting his nails. And I just, I didn't know how to deal with that. And so I thought long and hard about that. So the next time he did his nails, I grabbed a bottle of nail polish remover and said, listen, I don't use nail polish anymore. Do you want my bottle? So I acted out accepting.
Yeah.
Because that's what I knew I had to do. I mean, this is one of the best gifts that I've ever been given, this boy. So you're not going to lose him.
Now, obviously, we talked about your links to the church before.
Yep.
Now that this has happened, how was your relationship with the church at this point? You had a gay son. The church is...
Never an issue. It was never really an issue, because... Jack and I had some conversations about it, and I was very, very clear. I knew, and I said, if anyone from the church comes and hangs it on him or has a go at us, we're out. Right?
Yep.
So you got to understand, for me, there's church and there's God, and the two don't always mix.
Agreed.
So I have never had a waning in my faith and my belief in God and his love for each and every one of us. And so that wasn't a problem. The church I go to now, I know there are people that disagree, and probably the majority of them disagree with Jack's and my point of view. But they never say it, and they never. It's not an issue that separates us from worshipping God together. No.
Exactly.
I can say, if you do have any questions for Mandy, or any comments about some of the things we're talking about spirituality, about church, about coming out, you can SMS in on 0427JOY949. Somebody who has sent us a message, in fact, we've had two in. We've had one from James, who's listening all the way from New Zealand. So
Hi, James.
And the other message we had.
I've actually got a couple. I've got one from Amy and one from Ben.
What did Amy say?
Amy said, in remarks to our cross-stitching before, she said, I often had to drag Robbie away from his cross-stitch to go out to drag bingo. So that's probably more true of my later life.
Did you take your grandma to drag bingo?
No, this is a friend of mine.
Oh, friend of yours. Oh, sorry, I thought.
And thanks to Ben, who said, love your mum. She's awesome.
Oh, thank lovely. You. We'll be back very shortly on The Woods. And if I can make it
to the middle of this tightrope. Hey, this is Matt Albert from San Francisco. Well, then you can find a way to make it out here too. You're listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9. And if I can make it to the
middle of this tightrope. Big Bear Mark here with Dean and Robbie, and of course Robbie's mum Mandy
and Neil Diamond.
Neil
Diamond on Joy,
one of Mandy's favourite, I believe.
He is one of my favourites. He is my very favourite.
He's your very favourite.
Oh, Sweet Caroline.
I love that song.
I know. It's fun, isn't it?
Really good. Now we want to talk a little bit about. Now we talked about you being in the police force, but you also. These days, work in welfare, I believe.
No, I'm retired.
You're retired now.
I'm retired. I retired quite early. I retired about 52. But I worked in welfare for many, many years. I did a stint in the police force and then had a marriage, but we don't really talk about that much. And I had two lovely boys to that marriage, Mark. G'day, Mark.
Hey, Mark. Mark's listening.
Hello, Mark.
Mark's
listening.
Hey. And so I had the two boys, and I had married a policeman, so I had met him. So I spent 5 years doing that. And then when I was on my own with the two young ones, I started studying again. But then Jackie Boy came plodding along, and so that sort of ended up.
And then Robbie
then
came,
came plodding along.
Plodding along, exactly. Now, recently also, I believe you've got involved in Inside X Gay.
Yeah, I really just felt that Robbie and Dave, his husband, has been just so inclusive. I mean, we've always been welcome at their social functions, and I've always just absolutely loved my time spending it at gay parties and the like. And I often say, that whenever I go out socially with gay people, I never get discriminated against because I'm heterosexual. And I find that... it's not astounding, but there's just something beautiful about that. And I can honestly say that for me, the times that I spend socially within the gay circle are the times when I see the least judgment happening. Mm-hmm. And so that's been really lovely. But I just felt that I'd retired, we'd been at home, we've taken on a grandson, so he lives with us, and I just felt there was something that I needed further to be doing and with my life and housework. And
just to make sure everyone knows, it's not Robbie.
The grandson.
No.
Not that I know.
No, sorry.
He's 17 now. He's gorgeous. He's been with us since he was 9. So, I had a lot of work around with him because he just needed me a little bit more than the average. And so I just wanted to get out and do something a bit different and just really felt that I could perhaps spend some more time with gay people would be fun.
Why not? Exactly.
So I started doing some research and looking and I've been listening to the podcasts of Joy, and the ex-gay movement had put a whole series of podcasts on with Dean Beck.
Yep.
And listened to all of them and was just blown away. And through that connection, I've ended up spending time with people who meet regularly, who are people of faith, who've had, they've had their own ups and downs with it all, as we all do, and quite a few pastors that have also, have been gay affirming and have suffered for that. I've never had to suffer. It's been really quite lovely. So it'll just we'll just wait and see.
So Mandy, happens. For those who are unfamiliar with Inside X Gay, what does the organisation do?
they look, I don't know a whole lot about them, except that I know that this is an offshoot from them.
Right.
So ex-gay themselves, I mean, it's in relation to people who have gone through the ex-gay movement, and which means that they have been counselled by the church that their gayness
to
is curable.
To pray away the gay.
Pray away the gay.
Because that works.
Yep.
No. Mm. I don't believe so.
Elastic bands on your wrist, they work really well. You know.
Shock therapy, yeah.
Giving people terrible things to look at whenever they you know, wanted to be turned off from whatever it turns them on. Yeah, so just some appalling behaviours. What do they call it? The reparative therapies.
Yes.
I mean, just appalling.
So the ex-gay movement is a support group for those who've been perhaps through that system.
Yes. And they, I mean, those things are outlawed now. They're banned. I mean, but they're still happening underground. I'm convinced of that.
Yeah.
But the organisations that were running those sort of programs have now closed down. But it was through becoming aware of that that I just now meet regularly with a group of guys, and we have contact during the month, and yeah, they're just great, lovely.
And as you said, you were, I mean, Dean Beck, who is a great advocate of the against the ex-gay movement, or the he was. If you go to the website Inside Ex-Gay. .org.
Yep.
So inside exgay.org, if I can get my words right. There's a lot of interviews there.
Fantastic.
A lot of,
I highly recommend them. I mean, some of them I've listened to twice.
Yep.
Some of them I've cried through. Some of them I have just been so excited to hear what people have said. And it's just helped me come through a 13-year journey where I never had a really strong opposition, but I didn't have a strong four. And sometimes, depending on the day, that can still meander anyway. But what it did give me was a knowledge that everybody is equal and we've all been made by God and loved by God. And I just want to support those that are doing it a bit tough, as I have other people support me when I do it tough.
Exactly. Now, let's get on to something a bit more nicer. Obviously, Robbie has found a great love in his life. Hello, Dave, if you're listening. Well, he's in Sydney at the moment.
I thought you meant Crochet. No, you mean Dave?
No, well, cross-stitch, apparently. When did you meet Dave? How did he come into your life?
Oh, I met Dave on the phone first. We were having dinner and I sort of got on there and tried to convince him to come down and meet us, because this one was so excited about this fellow he'd met and how gorgeous he was and where they'd been and what they'd done. So I think quietly I was a little bit too full on for Dave from time to time.
Was that right, Robbie?
I don't recall.
Oh, I don't recall. but he, yes, I don't even actually really remember the first time we met him. What did you, I don't either. He just seems to have been there forever. I mean, Dave is as much a member of our family as Robbie is. I mean, we lost our middle son, Robbie's brother, nearly 3 years ago, and Dave was there part of it. He was sleeping on the lounge room floor with the rest of us and, you know, doing all the funeral stuff. And, he's really, and I mean, I just love him dearly because he's good to my boy.
There was a real time, even early on, where I remember Mum saying, you know, that he just feels like he belongs. He feels like he's a part of the family, as opposed to some of the relationships I may have had previously, that he just sort of fit. And my brother would have felt similar as well. They get along very well, and it just seemed like a right.
Yeah. You know when it's right, and he belongs. And we see his parents socially from time to time and spend some time last Christmas with them. So that was really interesting and good.
Of course, one of the other interesting things, I guess, about the Robbie and Dave story is they had a ceremony last year.
Beautiful.
So you're the mother of the... mother of the groom.
Mother of the bride.
Well, I did say...
Yeah, stereotyping. Mother of the groom.
I did say to Dave one day, before they got married, I said to him, so are you my son-in-law or my daughter-in-law? And he said, oh, glory be, Mandy, you've got a girl.
I'm not denying any of this.
No,
don't worry.
No.
It's not offensive, man.
But what was that day like when your gay son walks down the aisle and has a ceremony committing his love for his life partner?
The day itself was just fantastic. I mean, we'd been through married Kerry, just gorgeous wedding day, and same staff. We were just thrilled and tickled that the kids were happy and they'd found people that they believed were their life partners, and we were really thrilled for them. But you always knew that with Robbie's, it wasn't, you know, when I tell people that he got married, the first question, well, where did they get married? Mm. And I say, sails on the bay. You know, like, you know, it's not, sorry, was that mad?
No, it's all right.
But, yeah, so you know that that was the difference. There was definitely a difference. Exactly. And, you know, that's all a bit sad.
And that's exactly what we'll be talking about in the next section. We'll be talking more about the marriage plebiscite that is proposed and the way Mandy feels about it. You are on The Woods on Joy 94.9.
Catch up or relive all The Woods has to offer. Listen to The Woods podcast online at joy.org.au or on iTunes or Stitcher. Joy 94.9.
Mandy was meant to come in there.
She went a little bit early. I don't know if we caught that on
early,
air.
And then
stopped and then came in late. That's all right.
So it was your first time, to be fair.
To be fair. Next time I'll expect it perfect, of course, Mandy. But it's Mark, Dean and Robbie in the studio, of course, with Robbie's lovely mum, Mandy. We've been talking about Dave and Robbie's wedding in at a restaurant, and then they had a nice little holiday over in Thailand.
They did,
and seeing we just played Kylie Minogue as well. She came out today and said that she's not getting married until marriage equality is legally recognised in Australia, which is very important now. How do you feel about marriage equality, Mandy?
Well, I just believe in equality, so I think that just needs to cover that all. So for me, as a person, I want my son to be afforded what was afforded to my other son. I don't see them any differently. So for me, of course, I would love to see marriage equality. But because it's treating people equal, is my main bit on that.
Now, not only that, I think there's this silly plebiscite that we've got to deal with at the moment. And you even went to the extent, was it yesterday, today?
Yesterday.
Mm. You put on your Facebook a little bit of an open letter to Mr. Turnbull.
Well, I've actually posted that letter.
You posted the letter to him.
I've actually written him a letter. I mean, I just get to a point where you just go, this is just crazy. I mean, it's so wrong on so many levels. But the level that I was concerned about was the mental health status of the
LGBTIQ
community.
Yes.
I normally can say that.
Can we get you to read it for us?
I can get you to read it for you. I will read it to you. I didn't know what to call him, so that was a bit interesting. So I just called him Dear Prime Minister Turnbull. I'm writing to you in regard to your duty of care in relation to your continued pursuit of the plebiscite on the issue of marriage equality. Before retiring, I had been a CEO of Anchor, a welfare service for those in need in relation to foster care and homeless persons. So I have an understanding of what duty of care means. I'm a mother of a gay son, and I find it deeply concerning that the Liberal Party continue to pursue a plebiscite, particularly now in the light of Professor Patrick McGorry's recent public statement of significant harm it would do to the gay and lesbian Australians. He further states, anyone working in mental health would be concerned about it. Beyond Blue, Headspace, Carers Australia, Lifeline have also publicly stated their concern. I'm aware that you recently received a petition signed by 200 doctors and health workers stating their concern. There is also evidence that shows that the LGBTIQ group have a high rate of depression and other mental health disorders, and that their suicide rates are also higher. In light of the above evidence that is available to your office, I hold you personally accountable for my son's mental health status during the course of campaigning and the plebiscite itself.
Thank you. Now, I mean, you're preaching to the converted here, because we all agree with you 100%. I can't even think why, especially Mr. Turnbull, giving his past statements that he's for marriage equality, that he would go down this path. But it's... I don't know. It astounds me that this is happening. Can you think why this...
It makes absolutely no sense, no. Does it? So, I mean, I think people, when you logically think and you logically see what happens in Ireland, when you see what already happens here,
yeah.
For people to say, but we're responsible adults and we'll have a responsible discussion, it already is not that. So it just makes no logical sense. And so... I have no explanation, so when I'm really stuck, then I go to my husband and say, well, why do you reckon this is happening? Why does Turnbull say I will be voting, but let's do a plebiscite? And
a non-binding plebiscite at that.
Yeah.
And non-binary and expensive and yes, all yes. of that. And he explained to me that it was because that's, if he doesn't, he'll probably lose his position as leader of the party. So he's, you know, and I find that so offensive that I look at it and I say, so you don't want to stand up for what you believe in and you'll sacrifice it at yeah. Robbie's expense?
Yeah. You know,
I didn't write on the letter, but I wanted to write, you're touching my boy, a break of your face. <You
know? laughs> Exactly.
But I didn't think that would
don't
go down
mess
too
with
well.
Mama Bear
but,
Mandy.
No. Yeah, exactly.
But I just think the only way that we can deal with that is to individualise it. So for me, yeah. my first and foremost concern was for my kids.
Yeah.
Pretty normal reaction. But then I look at all the young people that have come into my life in the last 7, 8 months and I just can't bear it. I just... I woke one night in the middle of the night because I believed in my radio that's running all night. I heard that it was going to happen. It was a foregone conclusion. Well, I woke him up in tears. I spent an hour crying just saying this. I just don't have the words for how bad. I just think it is so wrong. I think it's... Yeah.
So one of the things that's interesting to me is in social media, people posting comments about the either side of the debate
yeah.
And attracting interesting comments. I'm interested, Mandy, in when you posted your letter, your open letter to the Prime Minister on your Facebook page, I think it was, or your social media site, what sort of response have you had?
I've only had positive response.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
So I think... And this is the first time that I have posted anything about my views. But I stated clearly that my letter is not about should we have equality of marriage. My concern is about this process. It's about the process of the plebiscite. So I'm not asking people to say, is it right or wrong? I'm just saying, have a look at it and have a look at what expense is this going to happen and for what reason.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes no sense to me.
And we're not talking about expense as in dollars, even though it is going to cost yes. a huge amount of money. We're talking about the expense
people's
of...
People's lives.
Yeah. It's like if one gay teenager takes their life over this, it's too expensive. And it's like, and it's needless. And that's what, because, I mean, we know from the Melbourne University study that came out last week, every single electorate except one in Australia, the majority of people support marriage equality in this country. So if the representatives in Parliament are reflecting the views of their constituents, there's one person in Parliament that should be voting against it, and they're from Southeast Queensland or Southwest Queensland, and that's it, you know. And why we can't get this over and done with, and I blame, and I'm really angry with the Labor Party as well at the moment, because they're, quite frankly, they're dicking around and not saying no, we're not going to support it.
And they're going to say no, but they're not saying no. You're right, and,
yeah.
and they're doing it for their own political gain as
yeah.
well. And I just wish we would stop playing with people's lives for political. I mean, it's just embarrassing. I think that it's really awkward, and I just want it to go away, but that ain't going to happen.
And look, I just want to say thank you for writing that letter to him, because, you know, more people need to do exactly what you've done.
Oh, get out there, mums. If you've got a gay child, write to him. Just let him know. There is a thing called duty of care, and he has that.
Yeah.
He has that in his hands. And for him not to listen to that expert evidence... forget all the other reasons. They're crazy reasons too, but he has to listen to the expert advice. It is crazy. I mean...
It's crazy. You are listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. Woof. Grr.
You are on The Woods. This is Big Bam Mark. Dean and Robbie are with me, as well as Robbie's lovely mum, Mandy. And we have to say hello to Jack, who's in the corner. Rob's daddy as well.
It's a family affair, isn't
and
it?
And Mark is at home, and Grandma Amy.
Yes.
We've got the whole family on board.
Exactly.
A little get to know you better.
So we want to say thank you very much for Mandy for coming in tonight. Now, we've got time maybe for a really short, quick... What's the most embarrassing thing you can tell us about Robbie? Quickly!
Oh, look, and we looked and thought about... Obviously, like, what can I say? I tell you what, mate, I am so sorry, but he was a pretty straight down the line guy. I think.
Well, I wouldn't say straight.
But I can tell you the worst thing that I think that we were quite shocked at that he did, and I don't even know how old he was, but his brother Luke had his appendix out.
Yeah.
Now, Luke was a sugar intolerant young lad, and Luke's father had bought him all these sugar free lollies so that he could suck on them. Well, Robbie was quite insistent that he wanted to have some of those lollies, and his brother wasn't going to share him. So Robbie punched him right in the stomach. So Robbie went
to bed. That's the most trouble I've ever got in.
I would imagine it would be.
I remember
that. You're so naughty.
It's one of the only times I think I got a smack.
I think you were probably about seven. You got a smack and you were sent to bed without dinner.
Not one of the only times I got a smack as an adult, though.
Robbie.
Oh.
Yeah, well, we have been sworn by secrecy by Robbie tonight, so not to tell Mandy too much.
I had to make it just a little bit uncomfortable just for a minute.
We've signed non-disclosure agreements.
Exactly.
Spread the beans. No shade. Now, Big Bear Mark.
Yes.
Monday.
Brecky Bears. What's is happening? Back. Well, after I was sick this week with bear flu and Luke was off in
Sydney gaming.
So Luke and I are back. Well, I want to thank Adam Samuel for stepping in and, of course, Robbie for stepping in this week with SJ. And this week we've got a few people coming in to the studio.
It's a great guest. Tune in.
Great guest.
Sure.
I think we've got Cal Wilson on the wonderful comedian. She'll be phoning in at some point. But, yeah, it should be a great show. Then we've got, of course, next week we'll have The Woods.
We will have The Woods.
And
with more bear stuff.
More bear stuff.
More listening pleasure.
Coming up next are the boys from Pop Chops.
Oh, the lovely boys from Pop Chops.
And just a bit of a spoiler.
Yeah.
They may or they may not be Lady Gaga. They may not.
Oh, Mark.
I know.
No, look, they probably know this, but I messaged in a couple of weeks ago Mark from Westwood's Grey. I said that I thought that the latest Lady Gaga song was a really bad Eurovision song. I don't think either of them took that very well. Sorry, boys. But of course, they are amazing guys, and they do amazing interviews. So get along to joy.org.au. Check out the podcast, of course, for The Woods, for Brecky Bears, and for Pop Chops as well.
Sure. And you can check out our Facebook page and like us while you're there, The Woods on Joy 949, or follow us on Twitter on The Woods on Joy.
Exactly. Northside Bazaar's happening week on Saturday?
Yeah, week Saturday, yes.
Week Saturday. Get down there. We'll all be down there. And I believe the Brecky Bears crew might actually be hosting one of the auction item slots.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And, so there's going to be a lot of fun there.
Big thanks to my mum.
A big
for
thanks
being
to Mandy.
Mandy.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.